Jesus' miracles prompt Nicodemus to visit him in secrecy. Jesus tells him about being born of the Spirit and about the Son who has been sent by God to save. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God."
Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can one be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Trinity. The Trinity is the only festival in the church year that is based upon a doctrine or a teaching of the church. All other festivals are assigned to saints or events within our church or within our belief system. But Trinity poses something unique, something uniquely confusing, something uniquely challenging, something that I have absolutely no clue how to articulate precisely, so each and every one of you will get it. So what about this Trinity? What is the, you know, when I was in grade school, I always remember going through the questions of learning, the who, the what, the when, the where, the why. So what is the who, what, when, where, and why of the Trinity? And while I'd like to be able to give you a concise answer to each one of those, I think, simply put, that all of these are answered with one word: relationships. The who, the what, the when, the where, the why of the Trinity is about relationships. It reveals a God who is in relationship with us. It reveals a God who is in relationship, who invites us to be in relationship with each other. And it reveals a God who invites us to be in relationship with the creation for which God has so graciously given to us. So as we this morning go and explore this relationship, we're going to use a couple different texts to reflect upon that. So you're going to need your hymnal, so go ahead and grab that. We're going to mix things up a little bit this morning. I'm going to combine the sermon, the hymn of the day, and the Apostles' Creed into one thing. Three in one, one in three. While this is in no way the Trinity, it's Trinitarian. So first, let us begin with, let's mark our places. So you're going to need to have your finger or a piece of paper or something on hymn number 412. Come join the dance of the Trinity. Once you find that, put a marker and open up your hymnal to the very, very back, page 1162. This is Luther's Small Catechism, the section on the Creed, which, as you know, the Creed is Trinitarian. I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing, we're going to read, and I'm going to invite you to pay attention to the text. Pay attention to the words, look into it. Imagine what relationship here is being revealed. The character of God's relationship with us, with each other, and with creation. Pay attention to that, and then imagine that in your own lives. Whether it be through your day-to-day activities or whatever's coming up in the near future. So, I like to sing, so let's go ahead and start with verse 1 of Come Join the Dance of the Trinity, hymn number 412, and you can remain seated. And now the Creed. Let us recite together the first article, and then I will respond with Luther's explanation. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So what does this mean? I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all limbs and senses, reasoned and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property. Along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. God protects me against all danger and shields and preserves me from all evil. And all this is done out of pure, fatherly, and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness of mine at all. For all of this, I owe it to God to thank and praise. Serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. God the Father, our Creator, our Sustainer, the one who provides everything we need for daily life, the one for whom loves immensely, the one who has and continues to make room within that Trinitarian dance for each of us. Let us now sing together. Verse number 2 of 412, God the Son.
Come see the face of Trinity, newborn.
The second article of the Creed on Redemption. Please join me. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. So what does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father in eternity, and also true human being born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned human being. He has purchased and freed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, with no gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. He has done all this in order that I may belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. God the Son, God in the flesh, God with us, claiming us as his own, forgiving us, renewing us, redeeming us. I love at the very end of our hymn in verse 2, when fear confines the dance and death, God rolls away the stone. God so much desires to be in relationship with us that God took on human flesh form in Jesus Christ. And not even death. Death by human beings can hold him within that grave. Let us now sing together verse 3, God the Holy Spirit.
Come speak all out of Trinity as wind and tongues of flame. Set people free at Pentecost to tell the Savior's name. We know the yoke of sin and death, our necks have worn it smooth. Go tell the world of weight and woe that we are free to move.
The third article on being made holy. Please join with me. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth. And keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily, In the Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On that last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. God, the Holy Spirit, the sustainer, the one who calls us into faith, the one who gives us faith, the faith for which gives us life in Christ Jesus. And this, at the end of the third verse, we know the yoke of sin and death, our necks have worn it smooth. I love that. I know my yoke is smooth. But go tell the world of weight and woe that we are free to move. Brothers and sisters, it's in this relationship with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that God creates and sustains within our lives every single day. That God has come in the person of Jesus Christ to free us, to be in relationship, to love one another, to love God. And God comes to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, making us holy, not because we need to figure it out on our own, but God chooses to make each and every one of us holy because that's who God is, sustaining us, bringing us to life. In our gospel lesson this morning, we heard the infamous John 3:16 verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. And I think the ever more important verse of this text is verse 17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn that world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Brothers and sisters, we believe, we trust in a God who desires to be in relationship with us. Why else would God send God's Son to this earth? Why would God sacrifice so much to take on human flesh, to suffer, to be in anguish, to be tortured, to live in this broken world? God didn't do it to rain down hellfire and brimstone, to condemn everyone, to condemn and to say that we're not doing it right. No, God came in Jesus to show us who God is. A God who loves everyone unconditionally. A God who is with everyone regardless of what barriers that we put up in our own lives. It doesn't matter what the color of our skin is, our sexual orientation, how old or young we might be. None of these human constructs matter to God. God loves everyone unconditionally, period. And so brothers and sisters, I do not have a succinct, articulate answer on how to describe the Trinity. And while it would be nice, it would be wonderful to know and to be able to tell you about this with God, I think God has revealed to us what we need to know. No, we can't know it all immediately, but there's a mystery about it, a secrecy that has to go on for now. Because God has God's own time, and that's okay. Because, brothers and sisters, we have our entire lives to be in relationship with God, with each other, and with creation as we grow closer and closer to each other and join in this marvelous dance of the Trinity. Let us rise and sing together the final verse of our hymn of the day, Come Join the Trinity.